If I am this Brahmana, Kriyate is accepted. Bhakshyaha as eatable. Tarhi, then. Mam, me. Kara, eat. Purvataha, before that. Na, not. Jivishe,
I shall live.
Vina, without. Yena,
whom my husband.
Kshanam cha,
even for a moment.
Mitakam,
a dead body.
Yata,
like.
Translation, without my husband, I cannot live for a moment. If you want to eat my husband, it would be better to eat me first. For without my husband, I am as good as a dead body. You can repeat, without my husband,
I cannot live for a moment.
If you want to eat my husband,
it would be better to eat me first.
For without my husband,
I am as good as a dead body.
So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. In the Vedic culture, there is a system known as sati, or saha marana, in which a woman dies with her husband. According to this system, if the husband dies, the wife will voluntarily die by falling in the blazing funeral pyre of her husband. Here in this verse, the feelings inherent in this culture are expressed by the wife of the Brahmana. A woman without a husband is like a dead body. Therefore, I'll explain that. Therefore, according to Vedic culture, a girl must be married. This is the responsibility of her father. A girl may be given in charity, and a husband may have more than one wife, but a girl must be married. This is Vedic culture. A woman is supposed to be always dependent. In her childhood, she is dependent on her father, in youth, on her husband, and in old age, on her elderly sons. According to Manu Samhita, she is never independent. Independence for a woman means miserable life. In this age, so many girls are unmarried and falsely imagining themselves free, but their life is miserable. Here is an instance in which a woman felt that without her husband, she was nothing but a dead body. So, yadyam kriyate vakshastarhi mam kara purvataha. Na jivishe vinhayena shannam jamitakam yata. So, omagana tibidandasha gananjana shalakaya chakshurun minitam yena tasmai shigurve namaha. So there's several points that are not politically correct in the modern society, but they are correct, because this is the Vedic culture, and Srila Prabhupada's presenting it purely. So, first point, of course, is the sati rite I wanted to touch upon. The sati rite, of course, is the rite in which the husband passes away before the wife, and then the wife cannot bear to live without him, and she enters voluntarily, that's the key word, the operative phrase, she enters voluntarily into the fire. Now, that voluntary entering into the fire is done because of love and devotion and also feeling unprotected in this world. However, if a woman does have sons like that, then there is no need to enter into the fire, just like we see in the case of Madhuri and Kunti. Madhuri, of course, she is the mother of two of the Pandavas. Nakula and Sahadeva, and Kunti was the mother of three of the Pandavas. So Pandu passed away because he was attracted to Madhuri and he went to embrace her, and of course Pandu was cursed to die if he ever tried to have a sexual relationship with his wife or any of his wives. So there was some discussion as to who would leave with the husband, and it was finally decided that Madhuri would go, because Madhuri First of all, she was the cause of Pandu's passing away, and it was considered that he had some unfulfilled desire, and she needed to follow Pandu, whatever. I'm not saying that, you know, someone has some lusty desire that you need to follow them just because they have some lusty desire. That's a different issue. So, and Kunti decided to stay because, actually several reasons. First of all, to take care of the five Pandavas, and also Madri was not equal to all the five Pandavas. She actually favored her two sons, Nakula and Sahadev, whereas Kunti actually considered all of the children equal, so she was more equipoised. So in other words, she stayed because she was protected by her sons. She was serving her sons, and the sons represent the husband. So this sati rite is not very much, is not at all recommended in this day and age, because it is not, people just don't have that sort of devotion anymore. Although sometimes we do see, even in America, and even in the Western world, when the husband passes away, or the wife passes away, whoever passes away first, their partner passes away within a few days, and sometimes even within a few hours of them leaving their body because of this great devotion. So the Vedic culture is based upon devotion, you know, devotion to God, devotion to the spiritual master, and devotion, of course, between the husband and the wife. It's a culture of love, you know. So just like Prabhupada gives the example in the fourth canto, part four of Srimad Bhagavatam, how when the spiritual master passes away, the disciple should also be ready to leave this world with the spiritual master, not that he jumps on the funeral pyre or anything like that, that's not recommended, but should be ready to leave the world with the spiritual master, unless the disciple is able to carry out the mission of the spiritual master, which I guess metaphorically that would be compared to the children of the husband, you know, children of the husband and wife, unless the wife has children that she can serve. And the same way, the spiritual master is, you know, metaphorically, the spiritual master's children would be considered the mission of the spiritual master. And if one dedicates himself or herself to the mission of the spiritual master after the spiritual master passes away, Prabhupada said, oh, actually, Bhagavatam also says, then the super soul actually appears to one, which is really interesting. In other words, of course, it's not that one should wait till the spiritual master passes away to become devoted to the mission of the spiritual master. Say what? Or pray for the spiritual master to pass away so you can super soul, you can see the super soul. You can see the super soul now if you're dedicated to Srila Prabhupada's mission. The super soul will manifest himself. Anyway, so that's the sati rite. And even though traditionally was permitted, it shouldn't be permitted today because nowadays, or in the recent past, the husband's family was using this particular rite as a means to dispose of the widow. And this is really horrendous, irreligious. Instead of taking care of the lady, they would just say, well, you've got to enter into the fire. They would force her to enter into the fire. And nowadays, even though it's illegal, not allowed, and that people generally don't do it, what they do with the widow, if the husband passes away, they send her to Vrindavan or another holy place just to beg. And it's just like, it's irreligious. It's completely irreligious. In other words, there's, in Kali Yuga, the affection or love between family members or guru, disciple, you know, it's very rare to find the intense love you would find in the Vedic culture. That intense loyalty, love, dedication that's there in the Vedic culture. So they send the lady away. And in many cases, this is very interesting, when the lady is sent away to Vrindavan just to beg, she lives in a charity place, and she, this is shocking, actually. So this is true, because this is what we found out from living in Vrindavan, that when she's begging and getting the money, she sends it to her family, who's living high on the, I hate to say high on the hog, but, you know, living nicely in Delhi or something. Of course, it's not nice to live in Delhi, actually. I was just in Delhi, and basically couldn't breathe. The air was so bad that it was green. It wasn't even like fog, normal fog. It was green. It was really bad. And it's the most polluted city in the world. But in any case, that devotion is just not there anymore. So here you're hearing about a different culture. So this is the point about the sati, right? Now, the controversial thing here is about the woman must have a husband. And the principle behind that is that ladies need to be protected. I mean, that is not politically correct, but it's absolutely a fact. Why? Because, no fault of their own, but because men are predators. And that's brought out nowadays, if you read the news, of course, it's on the computer now. My mother always says, why don't you get a newspaper? I said, I don't get newspapers. I have CNN. She said, what's that? So if you read the news, you'll hear about the / Me Too movement. Anyone's heard about this before? Some of you heard about it. And finally, the ladies are actually coming out and revealing all the abuse that they've incurred by not being protected. I'm like proving what Prabhupada says here. That the ladies are miserable. And there was one study I read yesterday on the Kadasi. I don't look at the news. That's my best. But at least yesterday I could do it. One study I read yesterday, there was over 90%, it was 93 or 97% of the ladies who work in Hollywood. You saw that study? They've been either abused, mistreated, or, you know, something similar to that. I mean, can you imagine that? You know, over 90%, it was either 93 or 97%, I forget the statistic right now. You know, they did a survey. And then, you know, with so many politicians that's coming out, and people are resigning, you know, many politicians, people in companies, you know, CEOs of companies, they're resigning. And it's coming out in the news that all these ladies, because they're not being protected. You know, the men are acting like men. I mean, I'm not saying I'm not justifying their behavior. I'm not saying it's good or, you know, it's understandable because that's the nature of the beast. I mean, men have their faults too. It's not, so it doesn't reflect badly on the women. That's the point I'm saying. So the women shouldn't think, oh, we need to be protected. That means we're nonsense or something like that. But they need to be protected because of the nature of men, and also, you know, there's more emotional needs too. I mean, there's other things too. It's quite complicated. Therefore, when Prabhupada started the movement, actually in the beginning, he was arranging marriages. I mean, on Mukunda and Janaki, they were living with each other. One day they get initiated, the next day, okay, here's your marriage. And also Shandashundar and Malati, the same thing. You know, they're living together, married. The Prophet said, what you consider to be girlfriends in India, we call, I mean, you know what, prostitutes. I mean, these are Prophet's statements, and I actually agree with all these things. You know, nowadays in the movement, people are getting very loose with these things, but this standard of morality and protection of women is very important. I mean, one funny story I was listening to the other day, Prabhupada was arranging marriages. In the beginning, Prabhupada was arranging marriages. There was one lady, I guess I can mention her name, Chandravali, who was always bothering Prabhupada. She's actually into women's liberation, you know. A funny story, really funny. And so she would barge in Prabhupada's room at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning and say, you know, I think women should be independent, equal rights. That's why we have to be protected and married. So anyway, she would barge in. And Prabhupada's getting really upset. You know, she's really steam. So Prabhupada was talking to one of his male disciples, you know, looking for a victim, I guess. Anyway, here's something ahead. Chitsugananda. Some of you may know Chitsugananda. And so It's such a, anyone's heard this story in the Prabhupada memories before? It's really funny. So he says, Chitsugananda, I think you should be married. And Chitsugananda, you know, says, yes, you know, in those days, you know, Prabhupada, people were getting married, you know, it was very common. This is today, not people getting married too, right? When I last checked. So, but people shouldn't just live with each other. I mean, there's actually studies that when people live with each other before getting married, you know, there's this whole propaganda that it's good, you should test it out or try it out. There's the studies that there's more likely to be a divorce later on. At least that's the statistic. You know, nowadays in this country, you know, it's terrible, you know, how morality has been diminishing in this country. You know, because we're influenced by the greater society. So anyway, so getting back to this funny story. So Prabhupada says to him, I have a girl for you. and he knew who it was, you know. And because, you know, she was unprotected, and Prabhupada really didn't want to be her protector at this particular point. He said, Chandravali. Chitsugananda basically almost fainted, you know, had a heart attack, even though he was only 20 years old. So, he's a great preacher. Actually, he arranged so many programs for Prabhupada in Mexico, took him on a TV show that had millions of views on it. I mean, he does, and he's a great devotee, wonderful devotee, good friend of mine. So, you know, he has this, like, moment of where he sees the Yamadutas coming for him and everything. And he's like, oh. Finally, he says, well, as Prabhupada, my spiritual master, I have to surrender. Whoops, what happened here? All right. Prabhupada, my spiritual master, I have to surrender to him. And so he grits his teeth and says, okay, Prabhupada, I accept. In the meantime, Prabhupada and Tamal Krishna are laughing at each other, with each other. Because Prabhupada feels relief. So he calls her up. She's on the other side of him, of the continent, America, you know. United States. He calls her up and says, Chandravali, she says, okay, bring her to the phone. And she says, this is Chitsugananda. Prabhupada said, we should get married. And she basically responds, yeah! Hangs up the phone. It's a true story. I said, Tony, I mean, the disciples are stories about the challenge of Prabhupada. And then he goes to Prabhupada, she doesn't want me. And Prabhupada says, oh, that's all right. You know, anyway, so eventually he does get married to her. And it's a famous story that they went down to Mexico City, they were in Mexico City. He tells the story, so I can tell it. And the news reporters came to the temple to film, you know, what's going on in the temple. And there she's chasing him with a pot in her hand around the temple. True story. I know, because Chitsugananda is my friend. He's told me many of these things, too. So anyway, so that's not an ideal marriage. Definitely not a lady who needed to be protected. So what you find sometimes is the ladies develop characteristics like that because they're not protected, so they have to, compensate for that lack of protection and become more masculine sometimes in the men. So, anyway, so the whole point, is protection, just like we protect children. And we all love the children. But the children, just like we see nowadays, there was this shooting in Florida. And there were a set of the deputies who didn't protect the children. Even though they had guns, they were trained, they were outside, and of course, Tristan Prabhu mentioned that they weren't kshatriyas by nature, they're probably shudras, blanches, or something else. So the police, we want the police. I want to be protected by the police. Is that bad to want to be protected? Because, like, you know, whenever there's been any people, you know, like years ago we had our mailbox was shot up. We called the police. So it doesn't reflect badly on me that I want to be protected. The Brahmins also, they need protection. Why do Brahmins need protection? Because they don't fight or like to fight or can't protect themselves in that particular way. So it doesn't reflect bad. The whole point I'm making, it doesn't reflect badly on women. It's just the nature of the different bodies that people have. You know, someone has a child's body, someone has a woman's body, someone has a Brahmin's body, someone has a cow body, they need to protect it, right? Just practical. So that's the principle. So yes, if a woman should always be protected. And of course, Prabhupada did say at one particular juncture that we should have some situation like the Catholics have. If women want to remain unmarried, they have to be in a protected situation. That's all. This is understanding the essence of what the verse and the purport state. Because in many instances, you have ladies who are not married who come to the Krishna Consciousness Movement or been married or too old to be married. Or like Chandralali shouldn't have been married. You know, so there has to be practical arrangement in a society to protect the women. That's what's being mentioned here. Anyway, and so as far as another point Prabhupada mentions here is polygamy. Prabhupada didn't want polygamy. He was suggesting that in a particular context of the Vedic culture. I mean, even Prabhupada wanted to have a second life. It was accepted at that particular point. And the reason Prabhupada wanted to have a second wife was because his first wife was actually a little challenged as far as her dealings with Prabhupada. You know, she's selling his tea biscuits and, you know, not being very submissive. But Prabhupada's father said, no, your first wife is fantastic for you because she'll help you become detached from this material world. Of course, that's not a wife's duty to act in a nasty way to help the husband become detached. I'm not saying that, you know, that's the first class wife is like Prabhupada's wife. It's just Krishna's arrangement. Krishna's arrangement. But it was allowed in that culture. You have to understand the culture the Prabhupada is talking about. And the men would be accepting more than one wife to protect them, not simply to increase their sexual enjoyment, so-called sexual enjoyment. Like there was one devotee who wrote to Prabhupada, and he was suggesting he would get another wife. And Prabhupada said to him that if you do that, you can't come to the temple, basically. And secondly, our business is to reduce sex life, and your business to increase sex life. You know, Prabhupada chastised him. So it wasn't like a kshatriya or a Brahmin who's thinking of protecting. Like, that's a kshatriya. I mean, like Krishna married, 16,108 wives. He's protecting them. He wasn't thinking, oh, goody, goody, it's like going to the candy shop. So that was the kshatriya mentality, to protect. That's what the word kshatriya means, to protect from harm. So here's a king, Kamasapada, the king with the black spots on his feet, who has been cursed to become a rakshasa, and he's doing the exact opposite of what he should be doing. Protecting the brahmana's wife, he's getting ready to eat, and he does eat the brahmana. And he gets cursed by the wife. So, and of course she leaves her body after that. So, anyway, so this is an important part of Vedic culture. I mean, it may not sit very well in people in the modern day and age, but we're seeing so much dysfunction in society. Another reason why it's important is because there has to be good progeny in society. And to have good progeny, you need good mothers. I mean, it's just practical. And nowadays, not to criticize anybody, but when the mother goes off to work, 2 weeks after, 1 week after the child is born, it's not good for the psychology or the balance of the child. And Prabhupada actually said to one lady who was just had a child and was doing deity worship, Prabhupada said, your duty is child worship. You know, so it's very important for the psychological well-being, emotional well-being of a child to have a mother. You know, I remember my mother, she was there. You know, that for whatever reason, if I'm at all stable, which debatable, if I'm at all stable, it's due to the fact that my mother was with me for the first, you know, 5, 10, 15, what years of my life. Of course, I joke with her now. I mean, to aggravate her, I was speaking to her the other day, I just said, you know, you just dropped me off with daycare, and I was crying for 5 years, but and she gets really angry with me. But anyway, I mean, it's stability, and then you have good progeny, not unwanted progeny. You know, if the women are not protected, then you have unwanted progeny, not only because the women will have children without being married, but because they won't be interested in taking care of the children. You know, the kids will be just like some expensive hobby. That's what it is nowadays. It's like an expensive hobby that you have, and your real business is just to go to work, make money, and have a daycare. And it's been shown, actually in Romania, for example, who was that, Ceausescu? Yeah, who was in charge of Romania. It was a communist country. What they did with the kids, they took them all away from the parents when they were young, and they put them in some communal nursery. And there was literally a tube running overhead with little nibbles coming down from the tube for each crib. You understand what I'm talking about? Just like in a barn, you know, where you milk the cows, goes the opposite direction, obviously. You know, so each crib had like a little nibble coming from the main tube where the milk was being pumped. You know, they didn't even want to have enough daycare of people. And so, you know, and the kids had all sorts of psychological, and they still do that whole generation. I mean, even you go to Germany, and the kids were also taken away to a certain extent, not as bad as Romania. When you cross even to East Germany, and the people who grew up in East Germany, they're less stable than the West Germans because of the being separated from, and it's also communism too, like Prabhupada was not in favor of material communism. But anyway, they're less stable. And, you know, even Psychology 101, we all studied about the wireframe mothers, right? Yeah, the surrogate wireframe. That, of course, they didn't do that with people. They did that with monkeys. They gave monkeys these surrogate mothers, you know, just made of, you know, dolls or something like that. And the monkeys had psychological problems. So what do you expect? I mean, Krishna has arranged things in a certain way. You know, for mothers to be mothers, fathers to be fathers, ladies to be protected. This is human life. Human life. So anyway, so nowadays, I mean, people are finding out that the system nowadays just doesn't work. You know, it's coming out in the media. It just doesn't work, the system. I mean, and look at all the crazy children shooting each other in the schools. I mean, it's really not a gun problem. It's really not a gun problem because guns were available when I was young. I mean, I had so many guns in my house. Yeah, I learned how to shoot. I was shooting, you won't believe this, like a 65 caliber gun when I was a kid. You know, we had guns, I had access to guns. I didn't go to school and shoot them. We had whole racks of guns. My father was in the services, so, you know, he had guns and I knew how to shoot guns. And so there was no problem like that because the kids were brought up in stable homes. And the divorce was not so much there in those days. I mean, if one person got divorced, everybody would talk, you know, secretly, do you hear so-and-so? There's a divorce. Oh my God, how did that happen? But nowadays, you know, someone stays married for 5 years. Oh my God, how did that happen? Isn't it? So, I mean, the kids were a lot more stable. I'm not saying they were devotees, but they were a lot more stable in those days. They were wanted kids. You know, they were wanted. They weren't just hobbies. They were just, the mothers would devote themselves to the kids. Just like a cow is devoted to the calves. I mean, it's just practical. The fathers don't have that same devotion, even in the spiritual world. Described, Mother Yashoda loves Krishna more than Nanda Maharaj. Of course, they both love completely. So anyway, so I mean, just contrast the kids today. Even my mother tells me when she goes out in New York or something, she sees the children, it's like they have no manners. They're just, you know, it's just thing. And if you go into the school sometimes, I mean, I've done some school programs and even in Chapel Hill, and the kids are yelling at the teacher. I mean, what sort of behavior is that? And that's all because of the home life. And also, you know, media, you know, I'm not saying everything's the home life, but if people have stable homes, stable mothers to take care of them, because the mother actually is the source of stability for the child. It's a fact. It's absolutely a fact. The father's not so much a source of stability, but the mother is actually a source of stability. You know, the stability. So everything fits together. The point is, in Vedic culture, everything fits together. And, you know, we just don't want to accept the modern paradigms. That may not be so politically correct. So any questions or comments? Yeah. Oh, my God. You expected me to give a Krishna West class or something? No, you didn't have. Yeah.
My question is in regards to the caring for the elderly devotees and we as a mother. Because we see that in the religious world, that has been, for example, Krishna, that has been operating for centuries.
Yeah.
They set up systems to help the elderly people.
Yes.
So, what is the project or what is the prospect for this one to engage only as important as those who have served in its compulsory?
Yes, actually, that's a very important point, and unfortunately, it's not being addressed to the extent to which it should be addressed to. I mean, I myself have made the commitment that devotees who serve with me or that I make commitment that they're taking care of for the rest of their lives. I'm personally doing that. I would say it should be done on a local basis. I mean, and you know, if someone's going to render service in the temple, it's like, I mean, like if you have a cow, I'm not saying devotees like cows. They kick, but anyway, so they do. So then you just don't kill the cow when it stops taking milk like they do, or giving milk, sorry, not taking milk, then you take care of the cow for the rest of the life. We don't want to be like the bees. You know what the bees do?
Kick them out.
Yeah, they have a worker. The poor worker bee just like works his wings to the bone. And then, you know, as soon as he can't do any work, they just, boom, kick him out of the hive and he just lands up on the ground and dies. That's their retirement system for bees. So yeah, but the point you're making is very, like old people too. Old people, disabled people, yes, they have to, everyone, that's part of Vedic culture. No. I personally have made that commitment.
Anyone's been,
yeah. And I think it has to be inculcated into the culture. Okay.